Thank you, Grace. Buona Safiwe. I, too, am glad that the Lord has called me to teach on the prayer line, at least occasionally, and I love doing that. I pray, Lord, that you will not only anoint my mind and the words that I say, but anoint the ears to hear, too, Father. I pray that those listening will hear things even beyond what I'm saying. They'll be touched in their hearts in ways that I could never imagine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, we started last week teaching about becoming a prayer minister, and I guess that's appropriate for the Mission Prayer Network, right, is to learn more about praying. And we defined a prayer minister as someone who makes themselves available to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can work through them to help other people to find the miracles that God has for them. Prayer minister is someone who makes themselves available to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can work through them and as they pray for other people. And then by the Holy Spirit working through them and through their prayers, God's able to touch other people with miracles. We talked some about who's called to be a prayer minister, and we read in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and Jesus talked like he expected all believers to be able to pray for other people and see miracles happen. He said, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Even if the only kind of prayer ministry you do is praying for your own children, you're called to be a prayer minister. But I think a lot of us are called, and the Holy Spirit is wooing us. He's trying to get people who are willing to go out and work beyond their homes, even in some cases beyond their churches, and be willing to pray for other people and allow the Holy Spirit then. See, that makes us the vessel, the vehicle through which the Holy Spirit can turn around and love people and do for people the things that he wants to. But it's not as easy as just saying a simple prayer over people. I think you have to learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to move through you in order to be effective. We talked last week about how important it was to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, about how important it was to minister from a heart of compassion. And then we talked about that there are four steps in prayer ministry, at least the way I see it. The first step is to actively listen to the person you're praying for, hear their story. The second step is to patiently and carefully pray for them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The third step is to continue praying for them, but do it in an interactive way. In other words, where you're praying some and talking to them some, asking them questions, praying some more. And then the last step is you just keep praying interactively with them until either they get what they need or you run out of time. And we covered that first step about what it means to actively listen to their story and to hear what they want God to do, and we talked about how you might do that. Then we stopped and left off, and that's where we're going to pick up tonight with that second step, and that is patiently and carefully pray for them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is what prayer ministry is all about, right? This is not about you. It's about them and God meeting them and their needs. This is really the time for spiritual gifts to flow. And I want to do two things about spiritual gifts tonight. I want to ask you to please go to our website and download or listen to the teachings there on spiritual gifts. I gave you that website last time. It's www.cecmessiah.org. The second thing is I want to define spiritual gifts for you tonight. Spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit, and they work through the Holy Spirit to operate through we human beings in order to accomplish something supernatural. When the Holy Spirit operates through you as spiritual gifts, he's not augmenting, he's not using your gifts or talents in any way. Instead, he is working through you to do what no human being could ever do on their own. And I think that to be an effective prayer minister, you can never be smart enough, you can never be wise enough, you'll never be trained enough. If you're going to be an instrument in someone receiving a miracle, then you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to operate through you. It just won't work any other way. Don't even think about trying it. Matter of fact, you know, Jesus told his disciples right before he ascended into heaven, he said, look, boys, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there, and you pray and seek me until I send the gift from the Father. Don't even think about going out and doing any ministry work until you have received the Holy Spirit. That's because the Holy Spirit is the one that does that ministry. Well, let me give you some examples of spiritual gifts in operation during a time of prayer ministry, okay? Not too long ago, I was in a service, and the Lord showed a woman to me who was sitting out in the congregation, and he said she needs physical healing. Now, that was the spiritual gift of word of knowledge at work. And later in that service, I had a chance to pray for her. I told her I'd like to pray for her. And I said, I want to pray for you because the Lord wants to heal you. But she said, well, I don't need any healing. And I persisted. And I said, there's something wrong in your body, and God wants to heal you. He pointed you out to me tonight for that. And she said, no, there's nothing wrong. Well, about that time, Debbie comes up. And so this lady whispers to Debbie that she's suffering from a chronic bladder infection. Aha! I knew it. She needs healing. Well, we prayed for her, and that spiritual gift of healing went to work on her. And a couple of days later, I saw her, and I asked her how she was doing. And boy, she just smiled real big, and she said, I'm completely healed. Praise the Lord. The gifts of the Holy Spirit had to operate to make that happen. In that same service, a lady came up with her husband, and she said that her husband needed healing for heart troubles. He had high blood pressure and some other things physically wrong with his heart. And so I prayed for him, and the gift of faith began to operate in me, and I prayed a prayer full of faith that he'd be healed. And I'm sure the Lord is healing and mending his heart even now. But after I prayed for him, through the spiritual gift of word of knowledge, the Lord told his wife, he said, you have heart trouble too, and you need to be healed. And she said, oh no, my heart's fine. And I explained, no, God's not talking about your physical heart that needs healing, but your emotional heart. And she hung her head and began to cry. And so we went through a prayer of inner healing for her, and the Lord really touched her that morning. You see how spiritual gifts flowing through you are an absolute must if you're going to be an effective prayer minister. Remember, it's not you helping these people. It's the Holy Spirit flowing through you that helps these people. Okay, so that was step two, where you pray for folks. And I'm not saying that you always go through all four of these steps, okay? But generally speaking, this is what happens. The third step is a time of interactive prayer with the person. And when I say interactive prayer, I mean that you're praying for them, maybe for a few minutes, and then you ask them what they're sensing from the Lord, or maybe the Lord prompts you to ask them a question about their situation, or they tell you something that they were reminded of by the Holy Spirit. When this happens, this often then leads to other avenues of prayer. And so it's kind of a time of going back and forth and just seeing what the Holy Spirit is going to reveal and what he's going to do. And this goes back to that step two where I said patiently pray for him. This is just part of the patience where we take time to let the Lord do what he wants. When you pray for physical healing, don't be afraid to ask how they feel. And I want to tell you a couple of stories about that. A fella asked for prayer for his back the other day, and I asked what was wrong. This is part of the interview process. And during the interview process, I also asked him, was he in pain now? Well, he said that yes, he was. And so we prayed for his back, and I felt led by the Holy Spirit to pray for him in a certain way. I think that's the spiritual gift of supplications at work. And after praying for a while, I asked if he felt any different. See, this is interactive praying. And he said, well, no, I felt no change. And so we prayed some more for his back. And he said, well, I might be feeling something back there. It kind of feels warm. And we prayed for him some more, and he started moving around and flexing his back muscles. We kept praying interactively with him like that until before he left, he was completely healed. Now, praying should not be a formal process as a prayer minister. Just relax. Take your time. Pray a little. Talk a little. You're not going to make the Holy Spirit nervous by talking to the person you're praying for, okay? See what the Holy Spirit is saying. See what the Holy Spirit's saying to them. It may redirect your prayer time. after praying a while, listen to what they're hearing, what they're sensing, what they're seeing. They may see pictures or hear words or feel emotions, and that's all part of the Lord directing the prayer process. Don't be afraid to ask how they feel or what they're sensing. Now, I want to tell you a couple of stories about that to encourage you to not be afraid to ask. One time we were praying for a lady during the interview process. She needed healing in her back. Yes, she's having back pain right now. We prayed for her. We asked her how she felt. Did you feel any relief yet? And she said, no, actually, I feel a lot worse now. But we continued to pray for her until she was eventually healed. Don't be afraid to ask what they felt through your prayers. Matter of fact, we were praying for a little girl the other day. She'd hurt her arm at school. And after praying for a while, we asked, is it still hurt? Yes, it still hurts. So we prayed for a while longer. It still hurts. We prayed a while longer. It still hurts. And finally, she said, this is just going to take a while. Now, she's about 6 years old, okay? But I think she was hearing from the Holy Spirit. And she told us. She said, I think I'll be well by morning. And as far as I know, she was. Again, don't be afraid to ask what they're feeling after you've prayed. I've watched people ask. They get a bad report. And unfortunately, it makes that prayer minister feel like somehow they've been rejected. And their solution to this feeling rejected is to just stop asking people how they're doing. And so they'll pray for them and pray for them and pray for them, and then they want to go on to somebody else. Don't do that. Take some time. Talk with them. Ask them how they feel. The problem is when a prayer minister starts feeling that way, they feel rejected by getting a bad answer. I didn't get healed. And they feel somehow like they should take that personally. Somehow this is their responsibility to get this person healed, and so now they feel bad because it didn't work. Look, as a prayer minister, your responsibility is to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. It's your job to pray, and it's the job of the Holy Spirit to do the healing. If he doesn't heal, or if they get worse while you're praying, you can't help that. And I'm telling you, it's literally not your problem, okay? Comfort them, encourage them, continue to believe, continue to listen to hear what the Holy Spirit might be saying about the situation, but it's not up to you to provide the results. And if the results don't come, that's up to the Holy Spirit, not you. So while you're praying, don't be afraid to ask folks how they're doing. Okay, that brings us to the fourth step, and that is to continue to pray interactively with them until the Holy Spirit is done. Now, how do you know that the Holy Spirit is done and it's time to stop praying? Well, I think there are several indications that you might look at. And one is that the anointing of the Holy Spirit just lifts. You're ministering at the pleasure of the Holy Spirit. And since we realize that we can't do any of this without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then if that anointing lifts from us, we're done. I watched a prophet one night get carried away with the idea that he thought he was supposed to prophesy to everybody. And what happened is he would prophesy to someone, and it would be right on. And then the anointing would lift, and instead of him saying, okay, I'm done for a while, he would go to the next person, and he would make up something out of his own mind, and it was just awful. And then maybe later the anointing would be there. When you sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that it's no longer flowing, don't get worried. Don't try to work it up yourself. Just close out the prayer time. Bless them and move on. That's okay. Now, just because the anointing lifts for the person that you're praying for doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit has left the scene. You know, it's not Elvis has left the building, okay? It may just be that it's time to quit praying for that particular person, and it's time to move on and pray for the next person. If you're not sure about whether or not the Holy Spirit anointing has lifted, check with the other prayer minister or the other folks that are praying with you, your other prayer partners, and see what they're sensing. Or you know what? You can ask the person you're praying for. You can say, well, are we done for now? And they may feel that same lifting and say, sure, I think we're done. So that's one indication. The Holy Spirit anointing lifts. One of the other indications is that they receive what they need. Now, notice I didn't say they received what they asked for, because sometimes the Holy Spirit reveals what they really need, and it's different from what they told you they needed prayer for. You can't pray for everything in one prayer session anyhow, so when they receive what they need, it's okay to move on. As an old friend of mine said, you can't boil the ocean. Now, another indication that you're done is that they're at least touched in some way by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it seems that there are obstacles to their receiving. Many times the Lord reveals to us what those obstacles are, but sometimes we just don't know. And either they're not able to receive it at the time, or we're not able to see it, and they just don't get what they think they should get from the Lord, but they've received something from the Lord. At that point, you know, unless the anointing has lifted completely, I try to continue to press in with prayer until they receive at least some kind of touch. That is, unless the other thing happens that tells you it's time to stop, and that's you just run out of time. You know, when you're praying after a church service or you're praying over the phone, you may not have a whole lot of time anyhow. But if you're in a private prayer session, you are in a place where you and one or two other people have agreed to meet with someone in a private setting, at a church or in a home, and you're going to pray with them about something, they feel like they need deliverance, they feel like they need inner healing, whatever it is, Debbie and I try to set a time limit on those prayer sessions of either 60 minutes or 90 minutes. And I know 90 minutes seems like a long time to pray for somebody, but at the end of that time, if you've been praying for 60 minutes or 90 minutes, everybody is usually pretty well done anyhow. I mean, they've received whatever they can receive. You've given whatever you can give. And if you haven't done everything that the Lord wants you to do in that one session, that's okay. Schedule another session. Do it some other time. You can't boil the ocean. Okay, those are the four steps in prayer ministry. Now, I want to warn you about some doubts that can creep in. I've been praying for people for more years than many of you on the prayer line have been alive, and yet, because I'm human and I'm subject to frailty, I still sometimes find myself with doubts about praying for people in ministry. And I want to give you some examples, and I'm telling you these things so that when they happen to you, you won't feel alone and you won't feel bad. It's just we're subject to these things. Many times when I start to minister to somebody, I find myself thinking something like this, for example. Man, I wonder how I'm going to pray for this person. I don't have any idea where to start. Now, if I'll persist and wait on the Lord, the Holy Spirit usually begins to move, and the Lord does remarkable things. But you know what? Until the Lord starts speaking to me, I often feel lost. I feel a bit alone. And this happens to me a lot. It'll probably happen tonight when it comes time to pray for specific requests. You just can't work this stuff up. You just have to relax, be patient, and wait for the Holy Spirit to move. One of the other doubts I've experienced is, what if the Lord doesn't do anything? Here I am supposed to be this experienced prayer minister. I'm supposed to be helping this person. What if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up? This is going to be really embarrassing if that happens. Well, I can tell you that it's a rare time when spiritual gifts don't start to operate, but it has happened. And this is the place I had to get to with that, okay? I had to humble myself and empty myself of myself and come to the place where I realized this is not about me. If God chooses not to show up, then so be it. When God does what this person we're praying for, whatever God does for him, it's up to God. It's not up to me. If the anointing isn't there, I'll just pray a simple prayer blessing over the person and move on. I'm not in control. Don't be afraid to act as a prayer minister. But Father Dan, what if God doesn't show up? Well, that might happen occasionally. So what? Are you going to allow fear of you looking bad to stop you from putting yourself out there to pray for people? Don't do it. It's not about you. Okay, one of the other doubts is this. What if I say or do something wrong with this person? What if I miss it somehow? Well, that can happen. We're human. You might goof up big time. Welcome to the human race. We're all subject to failure and mistakes. And guess what? That's no surprise to the Lord. When you do make a mistake, get up, dust yourself off, learn from your lesson, and keep right on praying for people, okay? Of course, you have to be careful here, because the enemy would love to accuse you of missing it and making a mistake, even when, in reality, you were right on. The other day, I was praying for a person and gave them a prophecy. Lord told me to tell them that they were slow and steady and dependable, and he really appreciated that. And when I told her this, she looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language, and she just kind of shook her head like, I don't understand. Well, Debbie was there with me, fortunately, and the spiritual gift of word of wisdom began to operate through Debbie, And she said to this person, it's like the story of the tortoise and the hare. And as soon as she said that, this girl lights up and she smiled. Oh, yeah, I remember that story from school. You know, when I was in school and they'd read that story, I always said, I want to be the slow tortoise. I don't want to be the fast hare. I understand now. Thank you so much for that word. Well, based on her initial reaction, I was standing there thinking, man, I've missed it. But I didn't have the whole word from the Lord for this person. My prayer ministry partner had the rest of it. And that's why it's best, if you can, to pray with the team. We're going to talk more about that later. But this happens to me all the time. I'll minister something unusual or dramatic to someone, and I mean the devil jumps right on me and says, well, that was really stupid. You blew it that time. And often, a day or a week later, the story will eventually get back to me, and I realized I was right on. I really did hear from the Lord. Listen, don't let the devil stop you from being a prayer minister. Maybe you do blow it sometimes. I have. Maybe you didn't get it right. But maybe you did get it right. Just keep on praying for folks and doing your best to let the Holy Spirit move through you, and you're going to see many miracles at your hand. If you get scared and stop, nobody will get help. Okay, well, those are some of the doubts that you might have to overcome as a prayer minister. Now, I promised we'd talk about prayer ministry teams. Often you're called to minister, to pray for somebody, and you're all by yourself. That's okay, because you're trusting in the Holy Spirit to guide you. I understand that. But when you're praying for somebody else and you're all by yourself, that comes with some pitfalls. The problem comes in not because the Holy Spirit doesn't guide you, but the problem is that we're human, and sometimes we just can't hear properly. Sometimes we cannot hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say. He's speaking, but we're not understanding. Maybe we don't have the needed experience, or we don't have the vocabulary, or whatever. And if you got a prayer partner, they are probably going to be able to get whatever you cannot get from the Holy Spirit. Like the story I was telling you about the girl being steady. Lord knows you're steady and faithful, and he appreciates that. Well, when I told her she was steady, she didn't get it, but my prayer partner, Debbie, told her about the tortoise and the hare, and all of a sudden she understood. I mean, I've heard about the story of the tortoise and the hare, but I promise you, it just didn't occur to me. It just never entered my mind. So sometimes he's speaking and we can't hear. Sometimes he's speaking and we're just not sure about what we're hearing, and we need to be able to ask our prayer partner for confirmation. What are you hearing from the Lord here? Now, this takes nothing away from you. Humble yourself and admit you're human and limited, and that many times you need other Spirit-filled believers around you in order to accomplish all that God has. We're all like that. And I contend that we all usually do better when we're praying as a part of a team of two or three people. Remember, when Jesus sent the disciples out to minister, he sent them out in twos. You know, three folks might work, even more than three might work, but I think you get too many folks and it can get distracting. Let me give you some examples of why it's best to pray with one or more prayer partners. And I want to tell you this story, and this will probably finish up for tonight. A lady called, I'm not going to give you her name, but she called and she was having problems with sexual dreams. She's a member of a church. She's a good Christian. She's a young mother of two. She's married to a good man. He's not born again, but he's a good man, good to her. And she was being attacked in her dreams by a demonic entity. These dreams were very strong emotional dreams, and she'd wake up because they had a sexual content to them. Well, she'd wake up feeling dirty and guilty, as if she'd actually been sleeping with somebody else. And to make matters worse, her husband actually began to accuse her of having an affair. Well, she was being tormented from all sides. And so she mentioned this to a lady in our church, and the lady in the church said, well, you need deliverance. You need to call Father Dan. Well, she called, and Debbie got on the phone with me, and as we were going through the interview process, the Holy Spirit prompted Debbie to ask her if her husband had been married before. And she said, yes, he's been married, actually in another country, and he left a wife and two kids back there and came here, and we got married. And immediately, the Holy Spirit let Debbie know that there was a soul tie with this previous wife that this husband still had, and that needed to be broken. We needed to break that off of her husband. Well, as we continued to listen to her story, the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask her about her life before marriage. actually prompted me to ask something that I thought was kind of unusual. Lord said, ask her if she has done impure things that she's ashamed of. And she said, yes, she had. She'd actually slept around a lot before she got married, before she was saved. And immediately the Holy Spirit let me know that she was carrying guilt from her pre-marriage sinful behavior. Well, see, the Lord showed us that the previous marriage and the previous promiscuity were the open doors for the demonic entities to come in to both of them. And the Holy Spirit then further revealed, through the spiritual gift of discerning of spirits, that there were two evil spirits that needed to be dealt with. Debbie saw an incubus spirit that was attacking this woman, and I saw a spirit that was bringing her husband a false emotion or a false sense of jealousy. All of these revelations, see, were coming to us through spiritual gifts, but neither of us had the complete picture. It took both of us working together to get all that God had for this lady. Now, the gifts at work included word of knowledge, discerning or distinguishing of spirits, faith to believe for their deliverance, the gift of supplication so that we would know how to pray. So we did two things with this young mother. We prayed a prayer of deliverance in Jesus' name right there over the phone. And in the authority of the name of Jesus, we broke off of both of them the soul ties to the previous sexual encounters. We broke and nullified any curses or spells that had been sent to them and their families. We drove away the spirit of guilt that was tormenting her. We drove away the incubus spirit that was visiting her at night. We drove away the spirit of false or lying emotions that was attacking him. And we put up a hedge of protection in the spirit. We pled the blood of Jesus over them. Debbie and I prayed together for her. And while Debbie was praying in English, I'd be praying quietly in tongues. And then as Debbie would kind of come to the end of a topic of prayer, the Holy Spirit would anoint me to pray a specific prayer in English. And while I was doing that, well, Debbie would be praying in tongues or in the Spirit. And then the Lord would anoint Debbie for another area of prayer. And so it went back and forth, each of us praying as the Lord led in an orderly fashion, right there over the phone. Both of these people were delivered and set free from demonic oppression. And now, the other thing we did with her was we taught her about her authority over evil spirits in the name of Jesus. We explained that these spirits might try to come back, they might try to re-enter their lives, and when that happened, she needed to drive them away in the name of Jesus. And before we hung up from that conversation with her, we made sure that she knew that in the name of Jesus and the authority of that name, she had all power and all authority over all the works of the enemy, her enemy, the devil. So I'm going to stop there. We'll pick up next time by summarizing kind of what we learned from this about not just prayer ministry in general, but about ministering as a team. And then we're going to talk about some myths about demons and prayer ministry and those kinds of things. And we'll just keep going and see what the Lord has.